There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and it's you and I this hour. So 343-0106, 343-0106. A couple things I want to talk about, but if you got something that you want to throw in the mix, that's cool as well. Okay, the Cuomo thing, I guess we talked about, I mean, Jeff talked about it during his show a little bit. I mean, the latest here, so Cuomo has resigned, but he needs to work out 2 weeks of... Here's the story. So New York Post, that Lord knows they've been on this story, says Governor Andrew Cuomo announced his resignation today, offering a full-throated defense of his behavior with women before saying he's stepping down for the good of New Yorkers in the wake of the scathing state attorney general report that accused him of sexual harassment. Cuomo said, I think that given the circumstances, the best way I can help now is if I step aside, end quote. After disputing the report's finding and apologizing for some behavior that he insisted didn't amount to sexual harassment, Cuomo said he, which by the way, like this is the most uncomfortable thing. It's the most uncomfortable thing because, I mean, God, creep city, right? And some of the bigger allegations, I mean, no excuse. But if you look through the 11 allegations, there's some of them that aren't up to the other ones, maybe. You know, once again, this is no excuse for him. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. But it's just not all 11. If you look through not all 11 of them, to me, were the same. Cuomo went on to say he wasted time and money from the impeachment process that would hurt New Yorkers during a time of crisis. All right. I went on to say this is one of the most challenging times for government in a generation. Government really needs to function today. Government needs to perform. It's a matter of life or death. Yeah, well, end quote. How many of y'all just went, yeah, nursing homes? I went on to say wasting energy on distractions is the last thing that state government should be doing. Said the impeachment process would consume government. It will cost taxpayers millions of dollars. It will brutalize people. This situation, by its current trajectory, will generate months of political and legal controversy. This is what we're going to have. This is how the political wind is blowing. Yeah, it was blew you out of the governor's mansion. Is quite a wind. Okay, so here's a detail further down the story. It said Cuomo's resignation, one of the most steep falls from grace in American political history, will be effective in 14 days, said the governor. So he's got 2 weeks to do whatever he's going to do there, the governor's mansion in New York. But he's got 2 weeks. So he's not out today. You get the moving crew, I guess, or all. Under state law, the lieutenant governor, yeah, we've heard this before, right? When the lieutenant governor steps in, it's Lieutenant Governor Kathy and Dalton. I have not heard a news report on this. I've not heard her name. Hochul? H-O-C-H-U-L. Hochul or Hochul? Who served as a member of Congress from 2011 to 2013. Will assume the role of governor, becoming the first woman to lead the Empire State. In a statement, Hochul or Hochul defended Cuomo's opting to leave office. So she comes in and says, I agree with the governor's decision to step down. It's the right thing to do. And in the best interest of New Yorkers, as someone who has served at all levels of government and is next in line for succession, I'm prepared to lead the state. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. All that kind of stuff. Got it. I'm here and I'm ready to go and everything's great. So there it is. That's the latest update on Cuomo. So we'll see what happens on the civil side, right, and on the criminal side on this. The story, yeah, the story's not going away anytime soon. All right, and then I want to get into the infrastructure deal. So let's roll through this real fast. So this is what has passed the Senate, okay? So, and remember, there's the Infrastructure Act. The way I picture it, and you may have a better way to, but the way I picture it, though, you have the Infrastructure Act or Infrastructure Bill that was passed through the Senate today, and then you have the sidecar. Like, you know how you have a motorcycle and then you have a sidecar? So you have the $1 trillion infrastructure plan that's more like old school infrastructure plans, but still not, but more than the sidecar is. Sidecar full of the Democrat wish list there. So the story here, the Senate has approved the bipartisan $1 trillion infrastructure plan in a win for Biden. The vote was 69-30, with 19 Republicans, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, joining all Democrats to approve major investments in the nation's roads, bridges, railways, and more. Now, at that point, you read that first sentence, if I was Senator Sean Sullivan, I would vote for that too, to make major investments into roads, bridges, railways. The more part is questionable, and how they're going to pay for it is really questionable. Said to mark the achievement, Vice President Kamala Harris came to the Capitol to preside over the Senate and announced a successful vote. Well, good. She's doing something. The final passage vote was a culmination of months-long rocky effort between a group of bipartisan senators and the White House intent on showing the country that Republican and Democrats can work together to fix this nation's crumbling infrastructure. Well, 19 Republicans. It's not everybody. Also want to point out, too, do you remember the discussion we had on the show about the pay for on this? That, remember this group of the bipartisan group that was working on this that said, remember they suggested a gas tax? And the Biden administration said, that's dead on arrival, because we said we weren't going to raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000 a year. Remember that? So bring that file up in your head, because it'll come back up here in a little bit. Okay, Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman, one of the lead negotiators, celebrated the vote as a historic investment in the infrastructure that will serve American people for decades to come. A lot of it will. A lot of it, that's the problem here. To say the whole thing is horrible, it's not. But there's a whole bunch of bad in here, too. Portman went on to say, what we're doing here today also demonstrates to the American people that we can get our act together on a bipartisan basis and get something done. Yeah, that's right, if there's enough money in it. We can do big things in a bipartisan basis if we put our minds to it. They can spend money, bipartisan money spending. They can do it. He said, in a rare showing of bipartisanship that was short-lived today, as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, with the pants pulled up there right below his... Can you say, I can't say that word. His man boobs. A rare showing of bipartisanship was short-lived as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer quickly pivoted to advancing the $3.5 trillion budget bill. That's the sidecar, y'all. So the motorcycle is like a Yamaha 125, right? It's like a dirt bike. The sidecar is the size of the Excursion. It's like a Ford Excursion attached to the 125 Yamaha. See if people can picture that. The partisan plan will be the vehicle for Democrats to pass liberal priorities such as universal pre-kindergarten, expanded Medicare access, 2 free years of community college. Remember, like one of my favorite comics, Chris Rock, says about community college? And get myself in trouble, but it's like he said, it's like a club, but with books. Like, hey, I'm here to get my learn on. One of Chris Rock's finest moments. Subsidized child care, legalizing undocumented immigrants, and green climate initiatives. In other words, the new Green Deal. Because somebody was asking me before on the text line, they went down this kind of list of all these things that were in, and I understand why. They were confused that this was in the $1 trillion infrastructure plan. Now, think about this. The infrastructure plan that they passed in the Senate, now it's got to go to the House, and does it go anywhere? I don't know. Does it come off the rails there? But that one that's to address roads and bridges and railway and forcing Amtrak into Mobile and all those things that are normal infrastructure is $1 trillion. The sidecar is $3.5 trillion that's got legalizing undocumented immigrants. In other words, legalizing illegal immigrants. New Green Deal. Free college at a community college level, which may not be a bad idea, but we've got to see, you know, what's the payback for the taxpayer on that? What about those people that had to pay for their own education? Expanded Medicare access, universal pre-K. All right. So Schumer said the two-track strategy is proceeding full steam ahead. This is what I asked Jeff at the end of his show. Do you think we end up that they don't get the $1 trillion thing that actually addresses what we kind of can picture as infrastructure? They don't get that passed through the House, but they do pass this $3.5 trillion sidecar. The final passage of the second bill, this sidecar, is, I guess they say, crucial for the Senate because Speaker Pelosi says she won't allow a standalone vote on the $1 trillion infrastructure deal unless it's paired with the bigger package that the liberals have demanded. So see what happens here? So Schumer gets the $1 trillion out, and he can call it bipartisan. Got the 19 Republicans voting for it. And at the same time, he's going to use BIR, get the $3.5 trillion sent to the House, and then Pelosi can say they're going to be voted together, which is, I think, the undoing. I do think it's the undoing. I think there are enough moderate Democrats that are going to look at this and go, that's a, you wait for it. Yeah, bridge too far to do this. And we talked about the pay for on this. Remember I said, hold on to that. Remember that discussion we had that it wasn't going to be paid for by taxes on people that make under $400,000? Well, they say the narrow $1 trillion bill that passed Tuesday is dubbed Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, allocates spending for roads, bridges, rails, waterways, public transit, power systems, airport, broadband, internet access. The CBO, Congressional Budget Office, determined legislation wouldn't be fully paid for as the authors originally said. Remember, President Biden, it's going to be all paid for. Instead, it would add $256 billion to the deficit over the next 10 years. It's like, seems like child's play these days, you know. I mean, just add some more on there. The House is currently in summer recess, but expected to take up infrastructure after members return to Washington in September. I bet you they get recalled before that. I think they get recalled during August break to go do that. Democrats want to vote on this before you and I and everybody get to look at this more in the country. They're going to rush this. They're going to push it in the House. So let's go. By the way, too, the people are asking, who are the Republicans that voted for it? Senators Roy Blunt of Missouri, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, Mike Crapo, is it Crapo or Crapo, of Idaho, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, John Hoven of North Dakota, Deb Fisher of Nebraska, Liz Murkowski of Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, Jim Risch of Idaho, Mitt Romney of Utah, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Richard Burr of North Carolina, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Dan Sullivan, I'd say no relation, but dang Irish, maybe relation, Dan Sullivan of Alaska, and Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, and Roger Wicker in Mississippi. So one of the ideas they have laid out for this is, even though they're not going to pay for it, they're only paying for half of it, maybe. A little over half of this in their pay fors, which are also questionable. I heard Quinn this morning on with Dan and Dalton, well said, Quinn, that they're saying they're getting the money from the sale of the broadband, of the spectrum, right? So we've talked about this before, that the spectrum is broken up, FM, AM, you have microwave, you have all different parts of the spectrum. It's actually affected us. We have to have filtering systems on our two-way communications, our satellite communications now, because it's so very narrow where they're offering additional spectrums, right? So we had a little bit of wiggle room in the past in satellite communications. Well, they've taken that so very, very tight so they can sell off this additional, room, space, real estate when it comes to the airwaves. That was done last year, actually the beginning of this year. We had to deal with it, and good for Quinn. I didn't know. I mean, this is something that we get in the trades and we deal with in the radio business, not the stuff we're saying, but the wires and satellite dishes and transmitters and towers and all that kind of stuff. That happened we've already dealt with that. The United States has already sold and taken in the revenue from the additional spectrum sale. And they're saying that they're going to sell that to move that money to do on the pay for. That's money that was already allocated. So that's going to be part of where they get the money. The other one of the other things that has come up here, and we come back from the break, I want to talk about this. This is the mileage tax portion. Maybe you've heard of it. I know a couple of y'all have texted me about this. So the mileage tax, how that would affect, you know, because remember, the Biden administration said, we're not raising the gas tax. We're not going to raise the gas tax to pay for this. But a mileage tax, you know, that may be something completely different. So we'll talk about that. And plus the breathalyzer thing that has so many people asking questions. It's in there. It's in there. We'll talk about exactly how they're talking about rolling a mandatory breathalyzer. So the way seatbelts and airbags became mandatory in vehicles, now a breathalyzer by 2026. Those stories coming up. Stay right there. Be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Take this one to the, well, I'd say bank, but the virtual wallet. Shelby hates crypto. What was it? What was the line in Wall Street? Who loves blue horseshoe? Somebody loves Blue Horseshoe. Man, I hadn't seen that movie in a long time. Fantastic movie. Movie Wall Street. Also, they're shopping. I'm looking at my Twitter feed in here, which, by the way, if you aren't following, you ought to, at FM Talk 106.5 and at Sean Sullivan Radio as well. You can get both of those on Twitter. But there's somebody advertising me a facial cleaning brush for only $13.26. First of all, I don't know that's a good deal, and I don't know actually what you do with that. There's a lot of things I see in products that are shopped out there. I'm not very sure of how you use the products. Kind of like a washcloth and soap and shampoo, conditioner. There's all kind of objects there. I'm like, I know that goes in the bathroom somewhere. Not exactly sure what it does. All right. So we will talk about the Shelby angle here and his reasoning on this crypto thing in before we finish up the show today. But I do want to get started before the news on the paying for the infrastructure bill. All right. So this goes back. Don't y'all remember? Y'all remember along with me when the commentary was that no matter what they were doing in that bipartisan commission in the Senate, it didn't matter because President Biden had said he was not going to raise taxes on people making under $400,000. So therefore, there were no gas taxes. Okay. So here's a story from Forbes. This story from yesterday, I think. Patrick Gleason over at Forbes said, the Biden White House has reversed course on two major policies in the first week of August. During an August 3rd press conference, President Joe Biden conceded that when it comes to extending the Centers for Disease Control's temporary eviction moratorium, quote, the bulk of the constitutional scholars say it's not likely to pass constitutional muster, end quote. Uh-huh. There's that Constitution thing. The president said that one day after Gene Sperling, White House's federal coronavirus response coordinator, told reporters that they couldn't find legal justification for the moratorium. Right after he promised the moratorium, right? And so yet Sperling talked and said, on this particular issue, the president's not only kicked the tires, he has double, triple, and quadruple checked. And he has asked the CDC to look at whether you could even do targeted eviction moratorium. And they said as well that they have been unable to find legal authority for even new targeted eviction moratoriums. Okay, end quote. Now let's get to this infrastructure thing. So the second policy about face for Democrats was revealed this month during the release of the infrastructure bill. Oh, they even quote Buttigieg here. They said, let's go back to March 26, when Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told CNBC that a federal vehicle miles traveled tax shows a lot of promise. But remember, they came out and said that wasn't going to happen. Well, guess what? Hey, guess what, y'all? I'll give you the answer to that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
tomorrow, I want you to buy 1,500 July 50 calls. You hear me?
1,500, yes, sir.
And start buying 1,000 share blocks and take up to $50. When it reaches 50, give that a little taste to your friends. Then I want you to call the Wall Street Chronicle, extension 1605. You tell the man Blue Horseshoe loves Anacon Steel. You got that?
The Wall Street Chronicle.
There you go. Blue Horseshoe loves Anacon Steel. So, yes. And Dalton, I'll put this on. This is, if you have not seen the original, I know there was a second Wall Street. I think I saw it, too. I was not near as impressed. But then again, I wasn't the age I was in 87 when I saw the original Wall Street. Pretty much my bookends for your Strange Brew and Wall Street movies from the 80s have been a lot. I saw a note there. That movie only went box office revenue, it says here, for Wall Street, the original Wall Street. What a movie. Made $43.8 million. $43.8 million. That's it? You could release Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Battle the Laser Cats Part 4 today and make, you know, $80 million. Some remake of a sequel of a, you know, some kind of comic book thing. It makes $200 million. And a movie like Wall Street made $43.8 million? Something wrong with the world when that's a true thing. All right. So that, speaking of which, let me get back into the story. But remember, Blue Horseshoe loves Anacon Steel. This pay for thing on the infrastructure bill. Okay, so go back. That's why I kept saying, remember when we talked about it, that the Biden administration had said, listen, whatever these the bipartisan senators do working on this infrastructure deal, if it raises taxes on people make less than $400,000, we're not going to sign it. So on further in that Forbes story, it said the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill released in August includes a provision that seeks to pave the way for a national miles-driven tax by funding the launch of VMT pilot programs around the country. Contrary to previous assurances from the Biden administration, the infrastructure bill includes $125 million to fund the creation of VMT pilot programs. First of all, the delicious irony of that. Second of all, first of all, this is a George Bush Sr., mark my, you know, read my lips, no new taxes. Same thing here. This is Biden's Bush moment. They spend out of this bill. Let's get this. Hold on. It's $125 million to create the VMT program to collect the revenue from vehicle miles traveled. So to set up the taxing, they spend $125 million in tax money to set up further taxing. The infrastructure bill set aside $75 million for grants to state, local, and regional transportation departments to be used on VMT pilot programs. $50 million goes towards a national VMT pilot program. And Section 1301 of the bill authorizes $15 million in grants to be disbursed by the Secretary of Transportation every fiscal year from 2022 through 2026 for the purpose of establishing pilot programs at the state, local, and regional levels that test the feasibility of a road usage fee. Setting aside the arguments for or against VMT, oh, we'll get that in a second. VMT proponents still haven't decided whether the VMT should replace or be assessed in addition to existing federal and state gas taxes. The confusion is on display in Oregon, the first state to launch a VMT program. Participants in Oregon's voluntary VMT pilot program established in 2015 paid the state 1.8 cents for every mile driven. The state awards program participants a credit to reimburse them for the amount that they paid in traditional state gas tax. While such a pilot program was initially structured to test out a VMT as a replacement for the gas tax, it has strayed from the goal in ensuing years. You don't say. To an extent that it seems many VMT proponents now envision the levy as an add-on and not a replacement to the gas tax. So you got your tax for gas, right? And then on top of that, this proposal for a VMT. Now, where I don't have a problem with the VMT is for electric vehicles. And we talked about that here when the gas tax passed in Alabama and what would be done. If those of us burning dinosaur bones are paying, you know, paying taxes to keep the roads up, then hey, electric car people, whether you got the Prius or a Tesla or whatever, you got to chip in here too. So in that case, like a miles driven tax does not bother me as long as it's an equitable assessment. But that's not what's happening here. They're wanting to put this on top of the gas tax. Well, wait a second. Didn't we hear that the Biden administration, President Biden, would not sign anything that raised taxes on people making under $400,000 a year? And way back then I said, watch for it. They get the middle class. That's who they get. They get the middle class. That's who they're going to go after. Oh, no, it couldn't be possible. Well, look, see what's happening. CBO report on VMT released back in October of 2019 underscores what a difference it makes in terms of economic impact, whether a VMT is a replacement gas tax or is imposed in addition to it. If a VMT increases total taxes assessed on truckers rather than substituting it for existing taxes, it would cause a shift in some freight shipments to rail and would increase the prices households paid for shipped goods. So not only would it be, you know, for progressive, it's they love everything here. They would have the ability to tell people to go put their stuff on railroad because they'd make it too expensive to go by truck, which would help out Warren Buffett. And if I only had my share of Berkshire Hathaway, I'd be happy about that. But it also directs behavior. It directs behavior in what people buy and how they do these things. So I just want to throw that in the mix, right? So there's a lot more to this story, and I can put this up on the Twitter feed, and you go through and read this. But so this, once again, I knew it. Told you. And President Biden said, I'm not going to raise taxes on those, Mike. We're going to pay all this, and it's all paid for. Sure. Okay. And then the one that that probably gets more attention, whether it's right or wrong, these two items that are in the infrastructure bill, the skinny infrastructure bill, not the ridiculous bloated whale washed up on the beach of the $3.5 trillion Democrat sidecar that goes along with it. This is in the regular infrastructure bill. It would require new cars to come with a breathalyzer. Story from Reason.com. And once again, I'd like to tell y'all, well, I love this website. It's a strong libertarian website, so understand that's where the lean comes from. I lean that way. I like it, but I want you to know where it comes from. It says, in the story, as early as 2026, new cars will have to come equipped with, quote, advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology. It's in the infrastructure bill. Goes on to say, the new car you buy will have to come equipped with a futuristic breathalyzer should the bipartisan infrastructure proposal currently working its way through Congress become law. Included in the 2,700-page bill is a provision directing the U.S. Secretary of Transportation to issue regulations to new motor vehicles requiring them to come equipped with, quote, advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology, end quote. The new prevention technology would have to, quote, passively detect, end quote, whether the driver is impaired and passively measure his blood alcohol concentration to see if it's above the 0.08 limit set by federal regulations. If this technology does determine a driver's impaired or over the limit, it will have to be able to stop someone from driving this vehicle. But it says it's doing passively, too. So, I mean, breathalyzer may not be, it may not be, like, you have to blow in the breathalyzer. It's like it's maybe sensing, like it's got a monitor above you there, almost like, you know, one of those speakers where you talk into it for the hands-free. Goes on to say, in the story, there's been a steady bipartisan effort in Congress over the past few years to require new cars to come with this kind of technology. In 2019, Representative Dingell out of Michigan introduced, a Democrat out of Michigan, introduced the Honoring the Abbas Family Legacy to Terminate the HALT Drunk Driving Act, named after a Michigan family killed by a drunk driver, that is nearly identical to the provision on the infrastructure bill. And believe me, side note, the proponents of this are going to have every emotional argument on their side. Absolutely. They're going to have the hearts and minds of people, because I don't know anybody out there that wants to line up to defend stinking drunk drivers. But gosh, this is how invasive is this? You may say, hey, Sean, it's no different than airbags or seatbelts. We'll see. So it said earlier this year, Dingell's bill was folded into the House Democrats' $715 billion surface transportation bill, the Invest in America Act legislation. Said its inclusion in a bipartisan infrastructure bill only increases its odds of passing. Legislation nevertheless leaves a lot of details to be ironed out at a later date. That includes precisely what type of anti-drunk driving technology car manufacturers might be required to install. Already, people convicted of drunk driving, which I support this, once you show you can't handle yourself, says, but people convicted of drunk driving in some states are required to have ignition interlock devices that detect alcohol in driver's breath. These devices are expensive to install, however, and are often require regular service and calibration. They also seemingly wouldn't be passive methods of detecting one's blood alcohol content. This is the thing that stood out to me. So they probably wouldn't fit the requirements for the technology. Once again, they're talking about something not like a, and I say breathalyzer because I don't have another word for it, but it's something, it's not like somebody's, the way I understand it, this is new stuff, but you're not like blowing on the breathalyzer thing. It's like sensing it in the car. It says Car and Driver looked at this, Car and Driver magazine. Notes that Nissan experimented with other types of detection technology, including a sensor in the gear stick that would detect alcohol in the driver's sweat and air sensors that would detect alcohol in the cabin. So first of all, people will put on the latex gloves and maybe a mask or something. But the detect alcohol in the cabin, wait a second, you're the designated driver. The other people got housed, right? They're housed. But you're driving, you're sober. But the car won't start? Perhaps recognizing that a lot of the technology is not available for prime time, which I love this. So they know the technology is not there, but they're going to go ahead and put it in to law with if they pass this infrastructure bill. Even though the stuff's not right, not worked out, but they're to heck with it. Go ahead and put it in there. They said the Dingell's bill and the drunk driving portions of the infrastructure bill provide for a lot of time between now and then when any new regulations might go into effect. I don't know. How long is, maybe it's just because I've gotten older, how long is between 2021 and 2026? I know it's 5 years, but how fast does 5 years go by for y'all? To me, it's like a whirlwind anymore. Automakers will then have a minimum of 2 years after that point to comply with the new standards. So they would force the automobile manufacturers to put this in the vehicles, which means, of course, you're paying for it, right? It's going into it. And I said, you know, jokingly yesterday, but in a, I guess serious, I mean, if somebody wanted to, the narrow argument against this is, if, you know, I'm behind a locked gate on a farm and I want to drink and drive, should have all the right in the world to do that, right? If I'm not around you or your family or anybody else, then what do you do if you have one of those cars? I'm sure it'll be like the, like everybody I know that has diesels that have all this aftermarket equipment on it. They go get them recalibrated out there and get them to run differently. So that maybe that happens. I don't know. But think about that. So there's a lot more to this story. I'll put this one up as well on the Twitter feed. But this, I can understand. I could get on here and make a non-reasoned and an emotional argument, probably do a good job of it, and say, good. Let's keep the drunks off the road. Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you're not thinking about constitutionality, you're not thinking about liberty of individuals, not thinking about the free marketplace, you can make an argument that is going to be compelling to a lot of people when you say, this keeps the drunks off the road. And if you don't think about it too deeply, you'd be like, yeah, good. Let's keep them off the road. But what does that mean? Once again, this is the government's dictating to car manufacturers what they have to put in to regulate who can drive with unproven technology out there. It's in the infrastructure bill, which will partially be paid for by a VMT. So, you know, onward and upward, comrades. I'm coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, about 7 minutes away from Fine Bomb. Then I'll be back doing some two-a-days It's August, you know, that's when you do two-a-days. I can't believe we used to practice football in this heat out there. It's a younger man's game. So yeah, I'll be back doing Mobile Mornings and Midday Mobile this week. I wanted to just point out, Dalton and I were talking during the break about this, and I was right the other, like, I've seen so few movies, but I think they're fantastic ones, the ones I've seen and like. And another one I was recommending, because I was thinking about the movie Wall Street earlier, the original, the 87 Wall Street. The Big Short, have y'all seen that? Gosh, that's a good movie. It's a good movie. Good movie. If you get a chance, it's about the financial collapse. Maybe it's a theory. So it's either like a beer comedy, like Strange Brew, or it's a movies about finance. I don't know. I'm typecast. All right, let me get to the Shelby story, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this more tomorrow. And I know people have been texting me about this earlier today. So the story from is, let me go to, let's get the Alabama perspective, yellowhammernews.com. Dylan Smith here says, Shelby under fire for blocking amendments relating to cryptocurrency protections and innovations. When U.S. Senator Richard Shelby blocked an amendment aimed at fostering innovation in the cryptocurrency industry, it is unlikely he could have anticipated the ferocity of the reactions against him. U.S. Senate today passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. We've talked about that maybe a little bit this hour, which was set to include an array of protections for the growing cryptocurrency community, but failed to be included in the final legislation due to a procedural tactic employed by Shelby to derail the amendment. The bill includes provisions that are, which, by the way, I'm bothered that it's in the infrastructure bill. I got to tell you, while I'm on the side of cryptocurrency, it should have been its own bill. I like all this stuff that gets thrown together. They should be in another bill. So the bill includes provisions that are viewed to be detrimental to the American cryptocurrency industry. Well, sure, governments are going to protect their fiat currency, guys. Industry activists press lawmakers to address concerns related to redefining regulation and reporting requirements. In response, a bipartisan group of senators led by Senator Pat Toomey out of Pennsylvania, or Pennsylvania, introduced an amendment to protect the industry from burdensome regulatory provisions, which many believe will drive innovation overseas. I think Toomey's right about that. Shelby blocked this effort by introducing an unrelated amendment to increase defense spending. Now, look how this is done. Okay, this is what's fascinating. Shelby introduces an unrelated amendment to increase defense spending, which was then blocked by Senator Bernie Sanders. The crypto protection amendment was introduced a second time by Senator Tom Carper after Shelby failed to pass his amendment. Alabama's senior senator, in turn, blocked it once more. Toomey on the Senate floor blasted Shelby for his refusal to allow the amendment to be tacked into the bill. Like, so he almost uses defense funding as a red herring or a sacrificial node, right? Quote here from Toomey said, because there's a difference of opinion on whether or not the senator from Alabama should get a vote on his amendment because that it's not agreed to, the body is refusing to take up an amendment that has broad bipartisan support that we all know fixes something badly that needs to be fixed, end quote, said Toomey. After Toomey's amendment to protect the emerging American industry failed, Senator Ted Cruz introduced a similar amendment designed to support crypto innovation and solidify privacy protections. According to TheHill.com, the Texas senator blasted the current version, which was passed on Tuesday, saying it would, quote, block rapid innovation in cryptocurrency, end quote. Shelby blocked Cruz's amendment as well. Leaders in the cryptocurrency took to social media to slam Shelby over his successful bid to derail the amendment. And it said after blocking the amendment a couple times, Shelby later claimed that he supported the amendment but did not allow it to pass since his defense amendment was not included. So you got two things going on there. You got a story about cryptocurrency and governments protecting fiat currency. And then you have a master ninja at work in the Senate, introducing bills of your own to bump another one out. You don't get to vote on it, so you don't vote on the other one.